Chapter 51.
Now I know how Kurt feels, Joe said. Out beyond the tail of the monarch, swirling winds were lifting the bleached and dried soil and whipping it through the air, cutting the visibility to a few hundred feet. There wasn't a drop of water in sight, but even if the ocean lay beyond what Joe could see, there was no possible way to get a boat to it. Tell me you have a contingency plan for your contingency plan, Priya said.
Of course, Joe said. Who wouldn't?
She gave him a look that suggested she'd like to hear it, and quickly. If we can't float, we'll have to drive, he said. He picked her up once again, carried her back toward the boxy Mercedes G63, and put her down. This should be at home in whatever desert this happens to be, he said. Before he could open the door, the sound of boots pounding on the deck came rushing toward them. Get down, Joe said. Priya rolled under the Mercedes as Joe took cover by the cargo controls. Two men raced by them without a glance, headed for the open ramp. Joe noticed they were running on the conveyor belt. He glanced at the controls. It still had power. He tapped the control for the aft belt, activated it, and pushed the dial to full speed. The belt engaged instantly, and the men were thrown off balance, stumbled, and landed on their hands and knees. Joe stopped the belt, then turned it full speed in the other direction, this time conveying the men forward, onto the ramp and into the dust bowl beyond. Joe turned back toward the Mercedes and froze. Mighty clever of you, the big man named Woods said. He stood there with a pistol in his hand. These are only rubber pellets, son, but I promise you, they'll dig into your skin something fierce. Tessa had equipped her guards with something that wouldn't punch gaping holes in the one-of-a-kind aircraft. TSA agents carried similar cartridges. Joe raised his hands in surrender, only to be surprised by the deafening echo of a car horn. Woods flinched and turned instinctively to look behind. Joe was on him before he realized his mistake, tackling the big man and snatching the gun out of his hand. Woods threw Joe off like he was a small child, but Joe held on to the gun. He stood and fired. The first bullet hit Woods square in the chest, but the man only flinched and charged forward. Joe fired three more rounds, hitting Woods in the knee, shin, and foot. The bullet to the toes was what finally stopped the charge. Woods tumbled to the ground, rolling away and grabbing his foot. Leaving him behind, Joe raced to the Mercedes, where he found Priya sitting in the driver's seat. She'd climbed up and gotten inside without a sound. How? Joe couldn't be sure, but he vowed not to put anything past her. She held up a set of keys that she'd found above the visor. How's this for a contingency plan? It's fantastic. Joe climbed in and pulled the door shut as gunfire erupted from the open ramp. The men he'd sent out the door had recovered from their unceremonious exit and were rejoining the fight. The rubber bullets hit all around, ricocheting off the windshield and the walls around them with a strange sound. A little help, Priya said. Joe stepped on the brake as she started the engine and put the car in gear. As soon as the motor fired up, he stomped on the gas. The big vehicle surged forward, slammed into the powerboat in front of them, and promptly bulldozed it toward the opening. Tessa's guards fired as they charged and then dove out of the way as the powerboat went tumbling toward them and the Mercedes rumbled down after it. Priya turned the wheel to swerve around the wrecked speedboat, and Joe kept his foot to the floor. Which way? Take your pick. Priya turned to get them out of the line of fire, drove 100 yards or so, then turned again. They sped on into the swirling dust until the wing, engine, and tail of another huge aircraft appeared. Priya swerved, drove under the wing, and turned to avoid the dangling engine pod. Did we drive in a circle? Priya said.
No, Joe replied. That's a different plane.
Roaring off in a new direction, they soon encountered another aircraft, and then another. The aircraft were everywhere. Before they'd finished passing one, another wide body would appear from the blinding dust. Some had missing engines, others had been stripped of their tails or wings or fuselage panels. Several of them sat on the ground like beached whales, their landing gear long removed.
I've been wondering why we haven't been spotted, Joe said. Now it makes sense. We're sitting in an airplane graveyard. I doubt anyone would ever look here. And if they did, It would only take the slightest bit of work to disguise the Monarch and make it look like another derelict. The farther they drove, the more aircraft they encountered. Each time they passed one, they expected to find a gate or a fence, but so far an exit remained elusive. "This place is huge," Priya said. "It's probably an old airbase," Joe said. Smaller aircraft appeared, older transports and Cold War-era fighter planes that Joe recognized as old MiGs. Finally, a dilapidated fence appeared through the dust. Razor wire crested the top, dangling in places where the fence sagged. Priya took aim. "We should be able to crash through that." "Do it," Joe said. They sped toward the fence, hitting it between two loose poles and ripping the mesh from the nearest supports. It caught on the hood and they dragged it some distance before it finally scraped across the top of the SUV and fell off behind them. A service road ran along the perimeter of the fence. It looked as forlorn as the rest of the complex. Priya turned onto it, but Joe let his foot off the gas. "Turn us around," Joe said, looking back through the rear window.
"The other direction?"
"No," Joe said. "Back inside the fence. Hurry."
"But we just escaped from there," Priya said,
turning the wheel as Joe pushed the gas pedal down once more. "We escaped from the Monarch," Joe corrected. "If they find this section of the fence torn down, they will assume we smashed through it and took off. They'll think we're running for the hills, or whatever's out there on the other side of this dust storm. But the moment this weather clears, we'll be sitting ducks. They'll spot us with ease, but we can hide back there in the junk just as easily." Priya was already turning the wheel as Joe pressed the gas pedal. They were soon back inside the fence, moving through a section filled with smaller aircraft. "We just need to find one of those big old transports and pull up inside it." As Joe spoke, his eyes darted from side to side. He caught sight of headlights coming through the dust off to his left. He pointed to the right. "Behind that one," he said, indicating a three-engine transport that had once served Aeroflot and sat on its side with one wing down like a wounded bird. Priya drove with great precision, especially considering someone else was working the gas. They ducked behind the tail of the old plane, swerving and missing the aluminum skin by less than a foot. Up ahead, Joe noticed a huge Russian helicopter sitting flat on the ground with its aft door missing. "In there," Joe said. "That's our spot." As Priya lined them up, Joe gave the vehicle a bump of gas and then took his foot off the pedal. They coasted forward, slowing as Joe reached over and put the transmission in low. They bumped up into the back end of the big military helicopter, still moving forward. Joe couldn't hit the brake pedal without flashing a bright red beacon that might tell everyone where they were, but he pulled hard on the handbrake, which wasn't attached to the taillight sensor. It helped, but not enough. They hit the wall separating the cockpit from the cargo bay with a solid thump. A blizzard of dust rained down upon them, and the helicopter rocked back and forth several times. Priya turned off the engine and pulled out the key. Turning around, Joe looked for the other vehicles. "Hold your breath."
"Will that help?" Priya said.
"We're about to find out." Gazing through the back window, Joe saw the lights of two cars pass by in the distance and vanish, heading toward the perimeter.
"Now what?"
"We find a way to call for help," Joe said.